Is that good? Can you hear it good? I'm hooked up. Okay, let me pray real quick and then we'll start. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you that we get to honor fathers today. Thank you for giving us just a safe and blessed travel to Nepal. Be with me that I would convey what you would want and show people what you're doing in Nepal. And what you're doing in us as we honor fathers today. We thank you, Lord, in your name, amen. So I think last Father's Day, I don't know if it was last one or the one before, we got to do some tributes to Dad, and so it's kind of nice today that I can keep focused on other things and not be quite so emotional. It's kind of nice. Last time was really nice doing honoring dads. So I want to talk just a little bit about Father's Day before we start the slideshow, and then we'll get to that. Just on Father's Day, it's one of the commandments. I think it's number 5. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father or else you will get spanked, I think. He doesn't do that anymore, but... It's one of the first commandments with blessing. It's easy for me because I have a great dad, but for some people it's a little bit tougher, but it is a commandment to honor our fathers, and it's a blessing when we do that. And for those that haven't had a great example, we do have a great father, a father in heaven, who is a perfect example. John 14:8, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In Deuteronomy, it has tons of passages where God's commanding Israel and us to take care of the fatherless and the widow. God has a heart for you. He has a big heart for those who don't have a father. And in Psalm 10:14, it says, God is the helper of the fatherless. Psalm 68:5, it says, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. In Jeremiah 49:11, after Israel had failed taking care of widows and orphans, Jeremiah said this of God. God said this, leave your fatherless children. I will keep them alive. Your widows, too, can depend on me. And then just a little bit more about fathers and stuff. Romans 11 talks to us about us being wild children, not part of his family, and how we are adopted, grafted into God's chosen family, Israel. And God in Ephesians 1, he says he chose us. God is a good father. So just a little bit on that. But I also want to talk to those of us in here too that are not fathers or mothers for that sense. We have a great responsibility. We were not given this freedom to squander it. A married person is concerned about many things, how to please his wife, how to provide for his family. Being single, you're free for the time being of many concerns. And for also those who are married who don't have children, it says this in Isaiah 54:1, sing, O barren one who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one shall be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. And then this in Isaiah 56:3-5. Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. The work of moms and dads is worthy of honor and much praise, because there's a lot of sacrifice the mothers and fathers go through to provide for their kids, and waking up at 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning or whenever, and just all of the work that they do and the sacrifices that they make is worthy of much honor. But if you find yourself missing out on this honor, don't worry. God's got you covered. Just like he said in Isaiah, he's going to give you a name better than sons and daughters. So the fathers today, they're worthy of a lot of honor. And but if you're missing out on that honor, you're not really missing out. So enough about the Father's Day stuff. Let's get to Nepal. Sorry that my pictures aren't in order. I won't start through those quite yet. So I was going to go to Nepal, I kind of got everybody excited about it, and then I couldn't go. So I kind of felt bad about that. I needed quite a bit of money. I had to raise quite a bit of money because I had a debt to get rid of and a couple other things, and provide the money to go. And so I was going to go a long time ago with Dale, because I was just kind of, for some reason, excited about Nepal. He had built some YWAM bases and orphanages in Nepal. And so I said, well, you should go visit those places that you built. He built them in the mid to late 90s and early 2000s. And so he decided that that would be a good plan. And then John Snoozy and Jesse Burgess were able to go, I kind of dumped it on Jesse and said, you know, you got to plan the trip. I don't know if I can go. So I prayed about it and said, well, I'd like to go. It's bad timing and I need a lot of money to be able to get to go. But Lord, if you want me to go, I'll go. Just, you got to provide a way. And then he did. And then it was like, oh, well, I got to go. but God provided for the trip, and I was just greatly blessed by it. Okay, go ahead and stay on this one just a second. This, one of the guys that works for 514, you'll learn a little bit more about them. The guy on the elephant is his buddy, and the elephant was sick. There, even in that picture, and he was having a hard time helping him out. He's working with a vet, and I think he figured something out with the vet, because there's not very many elephants up there in the trees that they need to get over whatever sickness weren't there. I guess they just show him the tree and they eat it and they feel better, but he didn't have that. So it was kind of neat. You're just sitting there and then here goes an elephant past while you're eating breakfast. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So this is us working on the solar cookers. We didn't have power for a lot of the time. So we did a lot with the handsaw. That little plastic handled saw cut out most of the solar cookers while we were waiting for power. And then we worked very fast and efficient when we had power. Go ahead to the next slide. And they could just hop up there. If I did that, my back would kill me. Go ahead to the next slide. And that's just us putting some stuff together. The guys, the small people in there are, they're YWAMers. And I don't think these guys were Nepalis. There was another guy, Amoy, who was helping us. He was from India. So they were at the YWAM base. I think they're in their 20s or so. Go ahead to the next one. You see Dale Bow in the corner there. Most of you know about him, but just what an inspiration for serving God. He was working down in Chile. He had Guillain-Barré. It toasted all of his nerves, and he was on total life support, even breathing support for a year. And then it destroys all of your nerves, and then nerves grow back. But you have to relearn how to walk and talk and do everything. And I don't know if you can see in that pictures, but his hands are just atrophied. There's no muscle in his hands, and he doesn't have a lot of muscle or strength. But he's got a plastic insert in his shoes, so his feet don't drag, so he can pick his feet up. And he uses walker crutches, and he's off in some crazy country helping us build solar cookers and directing it. And it's just a blessing to see, you know, even though he's struggled so much, and he's dealing with cancer right now, there's kind of not very many excuses for me for going and serving God. If you're dealing with cancer and walking around with extra crutches and off in some crazy countries serving God and orphans, it's just pretty cool. So I just like to talk about him and how God has blessed many through that guy. Go ahead to the next one. This is some of the YWAM base leaders and some of the orphanage directors. And we're just showing them how to build solar cookers. They came over. We didn't have this whole big crew the whole time. It was a little less shock and awe. They all came over to see a demonstration, and it was a cloudy day, so it was kind of tough to cook rice on that day. But they are very excited about it. It was just not super shock and awe when we did it. Go ahead to the next one. So we're taking a nap, and that vehicle in the back, it was our taxi driver. And we got up really early that morning because the power was going to be on just early, and then it was going to be off. So we got all of our work done, and we're taking a nap. Well, as their custom, they show up an hour or two early and then wash their van. Well, his van, the door wasn't working quite right. And we're kind of taking a nap in this little room right next to that. And he's over there slamming his door, just bam, bam, bam. And then you're trying to sleep and it didn't quit. He's just bam, bam, right in front of our door. And then this lady just shows up, and then she's click, 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 cutting grass with her deal. So we just gave up on the nap thing. But it's kind of fun. I asked her if I could take a picture. And then for them, yes is nodding your head like this. And this is no, but this is yes. And when you ask, it's kind of like, well, you know, for us, it would be kind of like, well, maybe I guess, you know, so you're kind of taking a picture like, I'm sorry, you know. And but for them, that is, yes, you can. So anyway, she had that big old bundle and just carried it. I don't know if she's carrying it for a water buffalo or what, but it's kind of cool to see somebody just mowing the lawn with a little knife. Go to the next one. That's the finished solar cookers. That's not our full crew, but that's some of it. And I think we ended up building 8, and then Dale went to Pokhara and built a few more. Go to the next. Just one thing real quick on those solar cookers. The propane costs were just crazy, like $80, 15-pound bottle, when they had a lot of restrictions from India. And the cost has come down a little bit, but they were buying firewood for like 2 cents a chunk of firewood, and they make $2 to $4 a day. So a pile of firewood is kind of expensive for them. And most guys are cooking with fire. Power's unreliable. They just don't cook with electric very often. And propane is really expensive, and they've stripped the forest. It's the third dirtiest city in the world. There's lots of smog because even in the summer, everyone's cooking with fire. So it has a lot of potential to be really helpful to be able to cook on sunny days with the solar cookers. And they have a lot of sunny days. Right now is just starting into their rainy season, but go ahead. Sorry, they're kind of out of order. This one is just a bridge that we went on the way to the village that we trekked to. Maybe we shouldn't have used it. I guess our guide did. None of the kids like using it, so maybe that should tell us something about that bridge. Jesse, when I was in a tired moment, forced me to do work and take pictures of butterflies. They're cool. This guy was just alongside the road, just cooking something. These are cool. They're Nepali tractors. And it's kind of like a rototiller in front of the deal, and they just load them down with huge, heavy weights and bring them along. Just a pretty sunset. They saw I had a camera, so they started waving. What's really neat is they're cutting wheat by hand, and then they bundle it, and then they thresh the wheat out on the ground, and then sift it. And so it just kind of feels like you're back in biblical times or 1910 or something like that. But that's after they got done threshing it out, and the kids are just playing in the straw. That's just in Kathmandu, another one of Kathmandu. It's that we're kind of in the nice part of town there. And yep, had a spider. I woke everyone up. I was going in for the kill nice and quietly. It was like 5 in the morning. And then he charged me. So I was like, just bam. Because I thought he was gonna kill me or something. So. Cool looking lizard with a big red mohawk. A half caffeinated owl. Just a cool tree. There's crows. They're a little different than our crows. They've got kind of a gray band around their neck, and there's crows everywhere. This is called a barking deer. That was at the zoo, but they were up there where we were at. I got to hear them. I didn't get to see them. And that was, for me, that was pretty cool.
Well, imitate them. What do they sound like?
They sound just like a little squeaky bark. I thought it was a bird at first, and then Abel told me that it got me and said, hey, that's a barking deer. Because I was excited about stuff like that, so he got me and told me. This is at Swayambu, the monkey temple. We went there on Buddha's birthday, unbeknownst to us, and there was thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. It was crazy. Go to the next one. So go one more. So these little things there, I guess they're prayers, and as they spin them, it's kind of like they're prayers. Floating in the wind or something like that. Go to the next one. And then I don't know what ritual they're doing there. Go ahead to the next one. Just more of up there on the top of the mountain where that temple is. So they're burning incense and stuff like that. And another one. So this is, they're doing sacrifices, not people or animals or anything. They rice and different things like that. And there's just all sorts of different rituals going on. And there was not a lot of joy and happiness up there. Their view of gods there is that gods are real capricious and moody and angry at them if they don't do what they're supposed to do, so that there's a lot of kind of obligation. And they're telling us, you know, the guys at 514, that when people tell them about Jesus, they're so excited. They're like, we knew there had to be a loving God, a God like this that would love us, you know, not conditional on the things that we do. And and then when they pray, it's just like for 15 minutes, they're just thanking God for how kind and his love for them. And when they come to Christ, they are definitely on fire. And you see them in the mornings, you see the sacrifices that they're doing here. And they've got a lot of red dye or something there too. That's why they do their spot. That's to say that they've prayed for the day. And I'm not sure exactly with the ritual. When they pray, they ring bells. And Dale says they do it to wake the gods up, and maybe that's true. But in the morning, you hear all the bells going off because people want to announce that they've prayed and done their duty, and then they have the red spot on their forehead to signify that they've prayed for the day. And then there as well, this guy, just a little sidetrack, this guy, I think he's like on the one movie, he's like, my name is Inigo Montoya, you killed my father, prepare to die. I don't know where, he just kind of popped up in the middle of that picture. It's kind of like, where's Waldo, Nepal? The prayer flags are also like prayer, they have prayers written on them, so they're like prayers in the wind. And they're primarily Hindu, but there's a lot of Buddhism. And with those, they're compatible religions. You can be Hindu and Buddhist at the same time. So there's a lot of mixture and a lot of confusion too, because nothing's really ever taught. People don't teach religion there, they just kind of do it. And there's just all sorts of religions and all sorts of gods and many gods. And two, with Jesus, a lot of them accept that Jesus is a sweet, awesome God, and they just kind of put him among many gods because they have so many gods. When following Christ is true, then all the other gods are put aside and they follow Christ. So just a little info on that. It's the monkey temple. I think monkeys are nasty, vile creatures, but they're still kind of cute. Buddhists walking by. This dog, I think he's the laziest dog in Nepal. I came by and I was pestering him. I kind of squeaked at him with my lips, and he lifted his head about that far off of the ground and went boo, 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 and then laid his head back up. And then Dale's daughter, Stacy, that's a store there. She bought a Coke and she was sitting there on the step drinking a Coke, and he woke up and puked in front of her and then went back to sleep. So he's a real winner. Just a sunset in Nepal. That's in Kathmandu. It's real smoggy, so it's real red. And it just scenes from along the street and go to the next. It's the things that you see in 30 seconds is just crazy. You'll see people threshing out wheat. There's an AC/DC shirt. You see them carrying all sorts of loads and stuff on bikes. Lots of bikes. Traffic is crazy. There's trash everywhere in the middle of the street. Just like I said, the things that you see in 30 seconds is just crazy. It's a little Buddhist community. There's not a lot of them, but you can obviously tell that by the prayer flags. Just more pictures. I think that guy is also Inigo Montoya. That's going down the alley, and you can see the little dangly thing that the taxi driver has. Some of the streets are pretty rough. There's lots of chickens, kind of cool. This guy, his grandson was telling me that he was 93 years old And I think that's kind of the old dude duty is weaving baskets, because that's what you see the old guys doing. It's weaving baskets. A lot of those rocks came down during the earthquake, and consequently that the guy that lived over there didn't really feel safe to live there anymore. What's that, goats? That's our guide, Abel, and some of the Germans that we went, they were in YWAM, they brought Bubbles, and of course, Bubbles were pretty awesome. So, then the next one, we think we found Willie Nelson's sister up there. Okay, go ahead and stop on this one. So the city that we went to is called Gangfetti, and it's kind of ground zero for the sex trafficking trade. A lot of the guys come out of India, and they would say, we're going to teach your daughters English in India, in Calcutta. And some of the families knew that they were selling their daughters to that, and some of them didn't. So they would just pay them. Proverbs 22:2 says, don't exploit the poor because they're poor. And they are very vulnerable and exploited because these are remote villages and they're not making any money at all. They're living off of the land. And so, they've not been taught the value of people and the value of their daughters. Women kind of don't have a lot of value there. So they've done that quite a bit in those areas, especially like in the village that we were at in Gangfetti. And 5:14, they wanted to see this stop. It's just a guy that he was involved with YWAM, but now he has a legitimate business there that he does tourism and stuff like that. And they'd done a lot of talking with him. You can't just blast him for why could you do such an evil, awful thing? The first step was just talking, well, how can you stop doing that? And they said, well, we don't have any form of income. And so they've developed quite a bit of tourism in there. And you stay at these families' houses for like $10 a night. And they house you and they feed you for like $10. And that provides them income. And as they've been doing that in building their relationship, that some are coming to Christ, but they're also to teaching them about the value of their daughters. And they've stopped in that village. They have stopped selling their daughters, and they're actually starting to see families, because they weren't having families because all of the women old enough to have families were gone. They were sold. So it's kind of cool to start seeing that and just the effect of what they're doing. Go ahead to the next. Just steep hillsides. They're farming on those little terraces on those steep hillsides. This is kids walking to school. This is the bridge that you go across to get into Gangfetti. It's pretty cool. There is a gravel quarry. Believe it or not, they're pulling up rocks on top of a rock and busting it. So. You see the baskets, they've got like a headband, and they carry really heavy loads in those baskets just by putting those bands across their head. There's another shot of that bridge. Just the lady washing, looks like some kind of a hoe she's washing. You see a lot of walking bushes, which is kind of cool. I don't know how they tie up all that grass and then carry it. It's really neat. And they're feeding water buffalo and different stuff. This is where I'm standing is where the school was. They would have killed hundreds of people all over the country, and even in that village especially, during the earthquake, but it was on a Saturday. That's their Sabbath or their holy day. And so they were out, not inside the buildings. And they would have killed hundreds, but I think there was 7 who died in that village as a result of the earthquake. And so this... A year ago. A year ago, they had a big earthquake. And so this is still a year from that. I guess there's an organization, I don't know what it is, that's coming in and helping them build a school. But this is a grade classroom, and there's several others under this tent. But that is that's a classroom for them there. There's people walking up the trail to their houses. There's a lot of houses up that trail, and there's no road or anything to it. It's just that trail. There's a butterfly. It was about as big as a bird. This is the trail that headed to Gangfetti. It's a gnarly four-wheel drive trail, but we hiked about 7 miles of it. Crossing the river, she thought that guy was an angel because she dropped her water bottle, and he just appeared and picked it up and helped her across and just out of nowhere. So she thought it was pretty cool.
She was a German mission.
Yeah, she was YWAM German. Just walking along the river, or they're headed to school. Guy herding cows. I like the chickens there. They're real cool. We always get them just from the store, and they're all the same size, and they're all chicks, and it's kind of neat to see the traditional hen with the chicks. It's kind of cool. Just neat terraced ground. That's Mick Hagelin. He started over there 25 years ago or so, and then he did some stuff with YWAM in Colorado Springs for 10 years, and now he's just moved back. I think they've been there 5 years or something like that. And this is what he calls Phase 2 Nepal. And he has the business 514. And they do tourism, and they have a guest house. That's the guest house that we stayed at. So a lot of YWAMers come through there. But they also they have a lot of secular tourists. And the village that we're at, it's on the way to a little bit just a little bit further, they have red pandas. And so there's a lot of Japanese coming over to see red pandas and stuff. And the tourism and stuff like that they're providing is providing some stability to those villages as they work with them and really stopping a lot of the sex trafficking. And then also, their guides and just the work that they've done with them, they've been able to witness a lot. So he's done a lot in that country. Random cow, we have random cow game. It's kind of like a slug bug or something like that. There's just random cows everywhere. They don't look that great either. Is that the end of it?
Yeah, that's the end of that one. Is there more?
Yeah, you might hit a couple more slides over. I don't know if there's anything. Okay. Well, I meant to have a couple others, but it's fine. You kind of got a pretty good idea. So at the end of that, I'd really highly recommend if you want to go over there. Sometimes you wonder when you go over there, like, what can I do to do a lot? You know, we were only over there 10 days. Who knows how much... we did. I think we did. We were able to do a lot. We built. Oh, I didn't show you pictures of that, but we built a house in that village of Gangfetti. Pretty cool. The steel frame that you do, and then kind of like a chain link fence around the outside. When the earthquakes come, they move, but the rocks just fall on the outside. They don't cave in, but they look like a normal house. So you're not like building some kind of eccentric Ritz Hotel. They look just like the other houses, but they're strong enough to withstand the earthquakes. And so a guy can go over there and in 3 days build a house. You build the frame and put the tent and the wire around it, and they finish the rest. And it's like $2,500 to build one of these houses. So, I mean, that's incredibly helpful. And then just going provides some of that tourism and stability over there. So just if you ever have the opportunity to go over there, you can do a lot for, I mean, for just a short trip. May not feel like you're going to do much, but thank you guys for supporting us as we went over there and funding some of the solar cookers. That was a big blessing because it cost us quite a bit to get there. So a little bit of funding for the solar cookers was really nice, really appreciated. And I think those solar cookers we built, some of them will be at YWAM bases, some of them will be at some orphanages. We visited a couple of them. They're running 15 kids for about $1,200 a month. So it's pretty cool to do that. And anyway, I don't have much else other than thank you. We're really blessed. It was quite a trip. And if you have any questions, ask me more questions. I'll pray and then we can sing and go home. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you that you're able to allow us to go over there and for others here to be a part of what we did. God, we just we pray for those at those villages, God, for them to turn to you and to stop selling their daughters, but also for those guys out of India to stop exploiting them. And God, we just pray for them that their faith would be strong. Pray for us, God, that we'd be faithful to serve people here and there in need. Thank you, Lord. In your name, amen.
Say a little bit about the scarves, the place that's making.
Oh, yeah. So missed out on a couple pictures. Mick Hagelin's daughter and his son-in-law run a factory. It's called Perna. And anyway, they bring women out of sex trafficking and just different tough backgrounds. And they provide them a job there. And they do a lot of Bible studies and a lot of rehabilitation with those the people coming from those backgrounds. And a lot of them are coming to Christ, not all of them, but a lot of them are. And anyway, some good friends of mine, Mitch and Sonia Kraft, they're support raising right now, and they're going to go over there for 2 years and work at the Perna factory. So anyway, the guys at 514 and just the different businesses that they're doing, a lot of different mission organizations, they have a hard time in countries like Nepal. Nepal is opening up a little bit more to freedom and stuff like that. They have a really hard time in those other countries because they're funded by American dollars. And when they go over there, the government asks, well, what are you doing? Stuff, you know, and they can't, bringing Jesus to everybody, you can't say that. And so the government's really don't like Americans and coming into those countries and stuff like that. And they fear that. But when these guys doing like 514 and stuff, they have legitimate businesses and they have that foundation. And then they can go over there and run their business and share Christ and really be very effective. So I'm just really excited about 514 and the stuff that they're doing. They're not supported missionaries. They're over there doing a business, and they're really effective at serving God and bringing a lot of people to Christ. So anyway, thank you.